Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the first book of Samuel, chapter 14, a few verses from there, and I'm reading out of the New International Version. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One cliff stood to the north, the other to the south. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." The Philistines, of course, who were their enemies, shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we will teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer. So here's the question. What are you facing as this new year unfolds? What opportunities and dreams do you hope will come about in the next few months throughout this year? There's a movie I watched a clip from entitled We Bought a Zoo. It was referred to by me in a book I was reading by Mark Batterson. The movie is about a British journalist, Benjamin Mee, and his wife, who was suffering at the time from a brain tumor, and their two children, who one day up and just buy a zoo. A few months after his wife died, Benjamin, now a single father, of course, and his children move on in life, focus on rescuing and restoring this zoo they just bought. There's a great line from the movie I want us to think about embracing for our new year together. It's this: "Sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage, and I promise you something great will come of it." Have you ever been there? Maybe faced with a moment of risk, maybe viewed by others as crazy, something too big to tackle, which is standing in front of you, which goes against all the wisdom of the pundits around you, saying, "Hey, don't do that." That's what Benjamin Mee and his two children faced. And at that moment, they demonstrated 20 seconds of insane courage, and sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes that's what it takes. History sometimes has been known to turn on one beat of a courageous heart, or in the refusal to give in or back down in a moment of courage leading to a defining decision. We honored a man yesterday, Martin Luther King Jr., who stood against things that should not have been. And as a result, those defining decisions changed the course of history, all of which may take no more than 20 seconds of insane courage. And if you have that courage to take that one step of faith to stand against something, it could change your life and the lives of others forever. That's what Jonathan did, as we read a moment ago. Jonathan, who later would prove himself to be King David's best friend. According to the scripture passage that we read, Jonathan, like the journalist Benjamin Mee, had a moment of insane courage. But in his case, instead of rescuing a zoo, Jonathan decided to pick a fight with his enemy, the Philistines. They were high up on the cliffs above the Israelites, always attacking, killing, making life miserable for the Israelites below. Jonathan had had enough of their taunts and their attacks, so he took his armor bearer with him, just the two of them, to attack the Philistines. Jonathan was always all out for God, on the front lines of life with God, and he was now headed that way again. His plan was to not wait for or invite the garrison of Philistines to come down off the cliff to fight them. But the plan was to get the Philistines to dare him and his armor bearer to climb up the mountain to fight them. Then Jonathan and his armor bearer would go to fight them, because then Jonathan would know that God had to be in it, because it would be insane and impossible to do it that way unless God was in it. But if God was in it, as he was in so many other things, their victory, he believed, was assured. The two of them could only be successful against the Philistines high above them if God was in it. Now think about that for a moment. Absolute insanity, right? Right. Slightly better, though, if the Philistines came down to them on a kind of level ground, or a lot better if the Philistines maybe just fell off the cliff, never to be heard from again. But certainly not to do it the way he was thinking, by using up all your energy climbing up the mountain while having things hurled at you and shot at you from above. And then, if you did make it to the top, now you were totally exhausted. Now you had to fight those enormous Philistines waiting there, probably outnumbering them. There are just two of them, and there may be 20 or more Philistines there. And now you have to deal with them in hand-to-hand combat. But that was Jonathan's plan. Insane? Absolutely insane. But it was consistent with who he was and with his faith in God. Jonathan wanted to make things happen. He wanted to find God's will in all the things he did. And if things seemed possible only with God, then he moved out because he knew that God would be glorified in what he did with him. Jonathan's mindset always believed, as we read earlier, that the Lord will act on our behalf. But Jonathan also knew that God wanted him to act. A few years ago in Jacksonville, I heard a dear friend of mine, James Brown, JB, of CBS News and Sports fame, say it a different way, using a football analogy, when he said that God will block for you. But he first reminded the group of 500 pastors that he was sharing with that that's true. God will block for you, but you first have to get out of the huddle. You have to take a step out. You have to take a risk. You have to move forward. You have to have that life-altering moment of courage. Maybe even a moment of insane courage. But you knew when you were doing it that God was in it. Which points then all of us to adopting Jonathan's mindset in life and believing that God will act on our behalf. Is that you? Is that your approach each day of your life as you look into your future? Is that our mindset as we approach each new day of our lives? Is that what we believe as we look into the new year? It seems that too many of us, though, too often operate out of the opposite mindset, that perhaps God won't act on our behalf, or I sure hope God acts for me today. We may not think we think that, or want to admit that we do, but our actions, or should I say our lack of actions, give us away. It's obvious. I have a paperweight, which my bride Linda gave me years ago, sitting on my desk, always in my direct line of sight. I can see it right now in front of me, which asks me this question every day. What would you attempt to do in life if you knew you could not fail? But too often, instead, we let fear rather than faith dictate the answer to that question and direct our decisions in moving forward or not. It's too much to handle. It's too big to overcome, too risky, too much risk involved. Stupid for me to even think about doing that. What will people think if I try? But my friends, listen, a lack of courage in moving forward may be nothing more than a lack of faith. Instead of going all out, we live and we play on the defensive, pulling back. But people like Jonathan would rather fall flat on their face trying with God than sit comfortably in their chairs on their backsides doing nothing. Which camp do you fall into? What are you and I facing that may be too tough to handle or decide? If we step out to do it, will it honor God? Is God in it? If he is, then maybe we need to take a leap of faith with him. Maybe we need to remember, as Moses reminded the Israelites at the Red Sea, that God always will fight for us. What would God want for us and want us to pursue with him this year? 20 seconds of insane courage or a lifetime of boredom and ease this year? I'm guessing the God I know and you know that it's 20 seconds of insane courage. That's about how long it took Peter to get out of the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a storm-tossed sea, I might add, when Christ called him so that he could walk on the water toward Jesus. That's how long it took David to charge Goliath with a sling and some smooth stones. That's about how long it took Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector, to climb up the sycamore tree to spot Christ, or for the leper on the side of the road to call out to Christ for healing. 20 seconds of courage, and guess what? Their lives were forever changed. What is it about your life you need to change? What is it before you that seems immovable, insurmountable? What fork in the road are you facing and aren't sure which path God wants you on, to stay the course or to take a new direction? What moment of courage is God calling you to embrace, to become all he created you to be? Jonathan refused to sit quietly, comfortably. Instead, he stepped out in a moment of insane courage with the God who loves him. And together, he and God prevailed. No regrets, no looking back wondering, gosh, what if I'd tried that? Jonathan went all out with God, and something great happened in his 20 seconds of insane courage. He succeeded, and God was in it. Here's the thing to remember. With whatever we face in this new year, or any time when we are facing something that requires or seems to require a moment of courage, if God is calling us to it, then God is already in it. So, jump in with a moment of courage, maybe sometimes a moment of insane courage. Actually, you know what? We'd be crazy not to follow him. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these dear friends. I thank you for this moment. Reminder, as we are in the midst of this new year, that you call us to remember that you are in everything we do. Look for you at work. Follow you at work. Take a moment of courage and to step out, to take a risk, to be with you, to follow you into all you want us to be. Thank you for all that you've made us. But Lord, there's so much more you want for us and that you want for us to use and who you made us to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all that's before us. Thanks for going with us. Thanks for calling us. Help us, Lord, to step out, to not be satisfied where we are, but to realize that if you're calling us to something, then you're in it and we're good moving forward with you. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.